Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Admiral Richard Byrd told a story of some very tense moments during his first expedition to the South Pole. For a time, he was living alone in an isolated hut far from any other members of the expedition. One day, he left the hut for a brief exploratory trip, and then suddenly he was engulfed in a blizzard that was a total whiteout. He knew that it would leave him hopelessly lost. And in that barren whiteness, there was nothing to give him any sense of direction. He knew that if he should strike out blindly to find his hut, and if he should fail, the chances were almost 100% that he would be frozen in the storm. But he had a long pole, which he always carried to feel for holes in the ice. So he stuck it into the snow and tied a scarf to it. In telling of the experience, he said, quote, "That was my center. If I failed to find my hut, I could return to the center and try again. Three times I tried and failed. But each time I returned to my center, without which I would have been lost and would have died. In the fourth attempt, I stumbled upon my hut." Well, in this story, the expression, "that was my center," plays a key role. I'd like to suggest that just as the pole and the scarf were the center to which Admiral Byrd continually returned, and by which eventually his life was saved, so in our society, the home is our center. As we come into this world and as we grow up amid the confusing complexities of life, it's the home which is our center. To it we return again and again. In it we find rest and strength. The home furnishes us a base from which to operate, and without it, we are unstable and insecure. Of course, the communists and others have tried to destroy the home, and there are those at work in our society that would destroy the home. And we have today same-sex couples, same-sex marriages, so-called. And we have other efforts to destroy the home, but the home is our center. And I'd like to suggest some characteristics that I believe that make the Christian home our center and make it such a blessing to our society. As I mentioned on Monday, it's not just what the Bible teaches, but others are beginning to recognize the significance of the marriage and the home. One governor said, "If the institution of marriage ever falls from grace, our society will fall as well, because there is no institution that can take its place." So, as we look at different characteristics of the home, number one, a family that is truly Christian is Christ-like, which means that its members will treat each other as each would like to be treated. Now, our Lord expressed that, didn't he? We know it as the golden rule. In Matthew 7, verse 12, "All things therefore whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them, for this is the law and the prophets." Jesus commanded this for all relationships, and certainly it would have special bearing in reference to a Christian family. And characteristic number two of the Christian home, to each member of the family, the acceptance of Christ will serve as a foundation on which the home is built. When I perform a marriage ceremony for two fine young Christians, I read several passages from Scriptures. At the end of the reading, I often say, "May the Lord bless this reading of His Word, and may the truths found in this book be the foundation upon which you establish your home." I know of no other foundation for a Christian to compare with the fundamental teachings of the Christian faith than those found in the Word of God. Then a third characteristic of the Christian home, the Christian family will worship together in public and also in private. It's an inspiring thing to see families sitting together in public worship, father, mother, and the children singing and praying and listening and making a heartwarming sight. It's also true that Christian families will read the Scriptures and discuss spiritual truths in the home. And what is more natural than for them to spend some time in study and prayer together, maybe around the dinner table? A fourth characteristic of a Christian home, the Christian principles by which the family is governed will give each member the power to see it through, regardless of outside pressures. Serious illness may become a great burden to a family. Separation is when a husband must spend perhaps 2 or 3 years away during military service is a burden. Sometimes financial stresses are present. The basic principles of the Christian faith give a family the deep roots which are necessary to face any and all these outside pressures and to see it through. Now, fifth principle, the Christian family shares every joy and blessing as well as every burden and every sorrow. In Galatians 6, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, the family is the place where each member rejoices in the successes and the triumphs of each other member, and also where each shares in the disappointments and sorrows of each other member. Each is deeply concerned for the good of the other. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote concerning our Lord's concern for his mother, and I quote, "Even he that died for us upon the cross in the last hour in the unfathomable agony of death was mindful of his mother, as if to teach us that holy love should be our last worldly thought, the last point on earth from which the soul should take its flight for heaven." Now, if Christ was so concerned for his mother's care, surely we should be concerned for the care of the other members of our family. Now, a sixth principle of the Christian home is the sense of belonging is a constant source of strength. Someone has said that the loneliness is the most frightful feeling in the world. And in a day when the population is ever increasing, isn't it ironic that there's more loneliness than ever? The ties of love that bind a family together eliminate that feeling of loneliness. And then another characteristic of the Christian home. The Christian father will not provoke his children to wrath, but he will nurture them in the chastening and in the admonition of the Lord. That's the instruction that's given in Ephesians 6, verse 4. And Christian fathers have a great burden of responsibility in that area. It doesn't eliminate the mother and the wife from her responsibilities, but there need to be more fathers exercising their responsibility. And then another characteristic of the Christian home, the Christian son and daughter will obey their parents in the Lord. For in Ephesians 6, verse 1, this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Jesus strongly rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees who sought loopholes in the law of ways of avoiding responsibility to their parents. But Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 5, "You have made void the word of God by your traditions." So, Christian son and daughter will obey their parents. Another principle, open honesty and integrity, with a complete absence of a false front, absence of hypocrisy, will characterize the Christian home and make possible confidence and trust. There's so much in the world that is artificial, so much that is mere sham and affront. There's so much hypocrisy in the words and the actions of men. But in the Christian home, all of this is excluded. Here there must be complete honesty on the part of parents with children, and children with parents. And then another characteristic of a Christian home. Parents will take time from their adult responsibilities to listen to their children and try to see things through their eyes before making decisions. Now, that's not to say that the children will make the decisions, but the parents will try to understand the feelings and the needs of their children and consider these along with other factors that need to be considered in making all their decisions. And then another characteristic, and these are so very closely related, false, malicious judgments have no place in the Christian home. Obviously, they alienate members of the family, and there's just no place for them. Our Lord said in Matthew 7, verse 1 through verse 3, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and what measure you mete, it shall be measured unto you. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" He's condemning hypocrisy here, and there's no place for it in the Christian home. And another factor, since grudge-bearing is not to be tolerated toward enemies, it stands to reason that forgiveness and peace and harmony and understanding ought to prevail in the Christian home. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 5, verse 43 and 44, "You have heard that it was said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, pray for them that persecute you, and do good to them which despitefully use you." Now, if Christ's disciples are to love their enemies and to pray for them, then surely this means that the behavior within the family would be an even higher level of love and a higher level of respect. And another characteristic, members of Christian families have a true sense of values. These values include such things as, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. A true sense of values. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." What Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, is that we need values to see what's important and see what's simply temporary and then see what's eternal. And then another characteristic, unlike those described by Paul as being without understanding, each will know how to act with his family and interact with them. Because of the guidance and the training in the home, children will know how to react to temptations of the world about them. They will have understanding. They will have been forewarned. And so these are just some principles that can help ensure the success of a Christian home. There are many alarming problems of our day, but those can be solved by more Christian homes. And as Admiral Byrd said, this is the center. The home can be the center to which we return, from which we draw strength, especially if it's a Christian home. And the only way for it to be a Christian home is for father and mother to be Christians, who upon their faith have turned away from sin in repentance, who have confessed Jesus as their Lord, who have been buried with Him in baptism, who by the Lord have been added to the church, and then are serving Him faithfully therein.